I suppose you could say it's a rare day that you wouldn't learn something, isn't it? Never heard that hymn before, David, that one we just sang. No, I never did. It's a completely new one to me. And some lovely words in it. Must have a look at it and give it some contemplation later. So, always good to be learning something new on the journey heavenward and homeward. There's always something to occupy your mind and to keep you busy. Now that hymn has been a great blessing. Lovely to be back again this morning, friends, in Cookstown. It's always a joy to come along and to renew some fellowship with you here in Shiloh. It's been a joy to my heart and soul to be along here over the years, just fellowshipping with the Lord's own people. And of course, when the opportunity arises to minister and preach the minister the word and preach the gospel, and I know that by this gadget here in the corner the gospel is going out, and that's good, and no one knows exactly who the message of the gospel will reach. No one knows that. I remember being over in Wales 4 or 5 years ago, and we were out on the doors doing some visitation work in a village. I'm not going to try to name it because nothing in Wales ever pronounced the way it's written. Nothing, you know. And I went to this door and I knocked the door, and this gentleman came out to the door, and I said to him what we were there for, and wanted to invite him along to the mission. "Oh, come on in a minute," he said. So he brought me into the house, and he said, "I've just been watching something here on television on this particular channel," they mentioned. I said, "Okay, good for you. I hope you're enjoying it." He said, "Very much." It happened to be me. All the way from the Moy, this meeting had been held some time previous, and it was going out over whatever this system is. And there, by chance, I just happened to, well, not by chance, nothing happens by chance in the Lord's work. But I happened to come to the door, and he and his wife and daughter were actually sitting watching that on television when I called. And, of course, during the time of the mission, we got very well acquainted with them. So you never know what the Lord is doing or where he's sending his word. Do you remember us as we go down to the village of Grey Abbey? And we've been down this week, Martin, Ronnie and myself, and doing a little bit of visitation work around the doors. We have found that very encouraging. You see, we've met a lot of very interesting people and a lot of very needy cases. The very first house I called on, there was a dear old lady there, about 80-odd years of age, she told me she was, and I knew that she needed to be saved, but didn't, up to the moment, have taken that step, which I thought, and I'm sure you agree, is very unfortunate. She had very recently lost her husband of many, many years, and so on, and I was with her sitting on the summer seat in the garden for well over an hour, talking to her, the very first house we called on. And she told me, she says, "You know, I'll think seriously about this." And she said, "There's a good chance I might take the step tonight." Now, pray for that lady. I don't know her name or anything about her at all, but nevertheless, it's good to make the contact. And I assure you, we'll go back and see her. And if she hasn't yet taken the step, impress the need to do it upon her as the days of mission go by. Quite a number of other incidents we came across. One man in particular I'd ask you to pray for. He's not related to this particular mission, but while we're down there, we're trying to make a few pre-arranged arrangements for a similar event that we have felt making in Kirkcubbon, which is just around the coast a little bit. And we've been round there looking into a few things, and very often in these issues, making mistakes, which you can make from time to time when you're doing something for the very first time, but you've got to learn by them. However, we went into Kirkcudbright and we saw this car park. Sam will know where this is because it's just across the way from where his sister's shop is there in Kirkcudbright. There's a car park there. And we were looking at this, you see. And I knew a man down there many years ago in Kirkcudbright, and I wondered if he was still alive. He was an elder in one of the local churches down there. And I found out when we called up at the house that he had very badly fallen and had broken his leg in I don't know how many places and was tied up in hospital, so he wasn't going to be able to do anything for us at this moment in time. But there's a man there beside has a large building where he sells builder's materials and all that kind of thing. And I went in and talked to him and I asked him if he could give me some information and some details. And he was very ready to give it. And then he said to me, "What's this idea of outside church? Never heard this before." I said, "Well, it's a sort of a new thing that we're trying to get going and to bring the gospel to the doorsteps of the people." I said, "Do you attend church?" "Well," he says, "I do." I said, "Where do you go?" Just like that, you see. "Oh," he says, "I go to the big building up on the hill." Right away, I knew that was the chapel that he was attending, you see. But then he said to me a strange thing. That was this. He said, "It doesn't really matter where you go." He said, "It's who you go to meet with that counts." And I thought that's a strange remark to come out with. However, once or twice we've been down with him, and I'm amused because when we've been looking with details, he writes it down a bit of wood and he gives you the piece of wood back with you. But last week, this is why I'm telling you this, I went down to the place to talk to him and I said, "Hey, when we do come eventually to Kirkcudbright, what about a little bit of power from the electric, you know, to help us along? Just let me know when you want it," he says. "I'll be delighted to give it to you." He has been extremely helpful, this man. Take him in your heart and pray for him, because I have no doubt that that door's opening. And of course, if we go through along with the Lord and do it right, who knows, that man could be reached and wonderfully saved. Now, I'll waffle on no more. Come with me to the book of the Revelation just now, to the third chapter, and to a very, very familiar verse. This is a verse that we would use regularly in the preaching of the gospel. It's verse number 20. And yet we need to remember this, friends, that while we use it in the preaching of the gospel, and rightly so, it was never written to the unbeliever, never at any time. It was written to the church at Laodicea. And of course, in Bible prophecy and that kind of thing, Laodicea represents the days in which you and I are living. The seven churches bring before us seven different periods through which the church of Christ would pass. And of course, I have no doubt at all that you and I are living in the Laodicean age today. I'm not going to make any attempt to prove that at all. I have something else entirely in mind, but just to remind you of the meaning of the word, Laodicea. It means the rights of the people. Did you ever know a word that better described the days in which we live than that one does? It's civil rights and civil wrongs everywhere you go. And of course, the scriptures are again being fulfilled. But this verse depicts the Lord Jesus outside the professing church and looking not for a church to carry on his work, but for individuals who are prepared to go through with God. And of course, if that individual is even here in the meeting today, there is no telling the way that God could take you and bless you and use you in his service. Now, just to whet your appetite, the other day I was looking at this verse and I came to it because I noticed something that I'd never noticed before, and it was this, that the person of the Lord Jesus is revealed in this verse in a very remarkable way. Now, just to whet your appetite to think about that. This is not what I want to deal with, but you'll notice this. "Behold, I stand And there you have the feet of Christ. At the door and knock, and there you have the hands of Christ. If any man hear my voice, there you have the voice of Christ. And open the door, there you have the grace of Christ, and so on. Now, I'll not go any further with that unless we get started in it and we don't get out of it at all. But it's amazing how the Lord Jesus is revealed there. However, very often when you come to verses like this in the Bible and you look again, just like the hymn this morning, you see something you've never noticed. Always there. It's always been there. But prior to this, you haven't seen it. And what I saw was this, the two opening words. And those are the two opening words that I want to talk about this morning to endeavor to give you an increased vision of the Lord. The two words are simply, "Behold I." Now, isn't that a remarkable statement? Behold I. The word behold means to fasten your gaze on this and nothing else at this time. Behold I. It's like the little chorus, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and of his grace. This morning, I want us to take a fresh look at the Lord Jesus Christ again. Behold, I. Now, first of all, let me say this. As the Master would talk to you and I about himself in the meeting today, behold, I am the great creator. Sometimes we miss out with the value of that. You see, the scriptures tell us this, John 1:3, that all things were made by him. That's a remarkable statement. And the verse goes on to say this. I've jotted these down just so as I don't misquote them. And without him was not anything made that was made. Brethren and sisters, God never acts without his Son. Never, never. The central source of God's power and majesty and glory is Christ. Without him was not anything made that was made. To me, it's a terrible thing when we look out in the world today where atheism seems to be sweeping across the globe. And the more God seems to smite the globe in anger, the more men seem to drift away from him. And of course, when you come to the book of Revelation from which we have read, and we may look a little at this in the weeks to come, I'm not quite sure yet, but we'll go as I feel the Lord leading, that even when certain judgments fall from God upon the earth, and there's one in particular, away at the tail end of the Revelation, that tells us this, that the earth will be judged by the outpouring of hailstones. Now, if you begin to measure the weight of those hailstones, it would shock you. Absolutely. The weight of those hailstones is just a little over 100 weight. Now, can you imagine the earth being bombarded with hailstones a little over 100 weight? That's going to come, and men are going to discover that God is a God of wrath. And yet, the sad and tragic thing is this, that instead of men turning to the Lord, they do the very opposite. They blaspheme God and they even curse him to his very face. What an evil thing the heart of man really is. Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And it's so sad to see so many in our land, in our world, and even possibly in the town here where you live, living their lives without Christ, ignoring the Savior completely, and yet God the Father will not move one inch, and I'm using language that you and I can understand without having the glory of Christ in view. Without him was not anything made that was made. And you can look out today at the wonders of creation. I was in a house just here the other day, just to give you a personal indication of this, where there's a mother and daughter live, and I called in just to see them, see how they were getting along and how they were doing. The mother's never all that terribly well. And when I got a kind of a wee bit of relax, I called in just to see how they were going. And they have a remarkable bird table in the back garden. I've never seen anything like it. It's a homemade effort. But they have all this notion about feeding the birds and all that kind of thing. And it's a marvel just to sit at the window yonder and look out and to see those little creatures coming. And I watched them just flying in, picking up what they wanted, flying back out again. And I'm sitting looking and I'm thinking to myself, just as those little creatures were coming in, God made that. You know, and when you look, I looked at one little robin in particular. And he's very, I'm forgetting the word, he stays there virtually. And he would hunt you nearly if you went into that garden. And there's one person told me, the robin actually tackled them because he's, I can't get the word into my head, but that's his territory. It's like a dog. And if you invade it, he doesn't like it, you see. But I watched him and he was looking at the other birds and I saw bigger birds coming, and the moment he came in, out they went. They knew to go, you see. But as I watched that all going on, territorial is the word I'm looking for. Big word, I can hardly spell it, let alone pronounce it. But I watched all that happening, and I'm thinking, my, how big God is. He's very big in big things, but he's very big in little things that can create a little bird like that. And you watch it flying in and eating and doing what it does and so on. And there's a program on the news I was listening to just on my way up there this morning, just turned it on for a moment or two. And they're over in Wales hunting some people who destroyed the nest of a bird, a kestrel, you see. And there's so few of them left. And what they were saying was this, that bird comes to that spot and nest, those two come and nest there every year. And then they go away to Africa or somewhere. And then they come back and nest again. Could you go to Africa and back? On your own. Flying there and flying back. And then they nest there and somebody has gone in with a circular saw, believe it or not, or one of these big things, and have cut the thing down and ruined it. And of course, there's a police hunt on for them, but that's another topic. It shows you just how good and remarkable our God is and how he can do things that man cannot. We wouldn't even dare to attempt to think that we could match God in anything. But when it comes to the uplifting of Christ, yes, without him was not anything made that was made. My friends, don't neglect the Lord Jesus. Keep your eye on him. Make sure that everything you say and do is directed to the honor and the glory of Christ. If I stand up here this morning for any other reason at all but that, it will be a complete failure. Absolutely. We must 100% be seeking together to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe in our singing and in our remembrance of him according to his word, we've been doing that very, very well this morning in the meeting. I trust as believers you will constantly keep that up. Yes, behold, I am the great creator. Let's increase our vision of the greatness of Christ. But behold, I am the great sustainer, because that's an aspect of the abilities of Christ and the wonder of his person that we very often maybe do not think about. Now, let me just quote you scripture again. Hebrews 1:3, and upholding all things. Now, how does he do this? By the word of his power. or, if you like, by his powerful word. In other words, when our Lord Jesus Christ created this universe, and he did, all things, remember, were made by him. When he put those planets out there, every single one of them, the sun and the moon and the stars, he set them there in perfect orbit. Every single one of them in perfect orbit. And by his fiat word, he said, stay there. And they have stayed. Do what you're intended to do. And they have done it. And the sun has moved in perfect orbit for generations. And the moon has done exactly the same. And the earth on which we live has done exactly the same thing. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is in absolute control. I don't know whether it was here or somewhere else during the course of the week that I quoted those words from Charlton Steen. I quote them regularly because I love them. No less almighty at his birth than on his throne supreme, his shoulders held up heaven and earth while Mary held up him. Is it any wonder that the Apostle Paul could write, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in flesh. Steen went on writing concerning that little babe that was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem's manger. Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. God in our likeness made, we understand that he who made the wandering worlds appears as lowly man. That's poetic language, but it's excellently put. What a person the Lord Jesus is. I don't know whether I pick these things up because I find them interesting. I was listening again to news. I listen to news, that's about it. You see, I like to hear what's happening. But during the course of the week, I hope I'm correct now what I'm saying, but one of the three men who were the first to go to the moon died during the course of this week. And they played an interview that was made by this man some years ago when he had visited the British Isles here. And I was very interested to listen to that interview because he got to the moon, but he never got on it. He was the only one of the three who couldn't go on. Somebody had to abide with the stuff, and he was the one that was given the job. The other two were down, but he wasn't on the earth. But they were talking to him about the wonders of creation and so on, and the different things that he had seen, because whether he was a believer before he went or not, I don't know. But he ultimately became one, beyond a doubt. But he was talking about landing on the moon, you see, and he was telling us that in the interview that they went up and they came on the other side of the moon. Not the world side, but the other side. It was like Paddy. I heard of Paddy, he was going to the sun, you see. And he had this contraption of a spaceship made. Where are you going, Paddy? The moon. No, not at all. He says, you've been there, you Americans. Says, the cow jumped over it. There's no point in me going there to the moon. Where are you going, Paddy? I'm going to the sun. He said, the sun? Yeah. Oh, but he says, you can't. Oh, I've worked it all out. He says, I'm going up at night. Paddy had worked. Poor Paddy, he gets blamed for an awful lot of things. But this boy, they came in round by the back. And at the back of this module, or whatever it is they were in, there was a window and he could see. And you know, he sat there and he looked out and he could see planet after planet after planet, Mars and all those things out there. And he's thinking, my, what perfect orbit. Because if you and I had anything to do with it, it would be chaotic. Absolutely. It would be chaos because I'd want more room for my planet than you had for yours, and that's the way it would be. Something like that. But think of it, friends. The man of Calvary controls it all, even on the cross. Even on the cross. Even as a babe born in Bethlehem's manger, he controls it all totally. Let's get our eye on him today. Behold, I am the great creator. Behold, I am the great sustainer. Here's one that really touched my heart. It's this. Behold, I am the great revealer. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, the hymn writer put it well when he said this, that our Lord Jesus Christ was the true image of the infinite, whose essence is concealed. He's the brightness of uncreated light and the heart of God revealed. Worthy, O Lamb of God, art thou, that every knee to thee should bow. I was asked a question recently, will we ever see God when we get home to heaven? I don't think we will. I don't know how you see a spirit. Don't think we'll ever see God. What will we see? We'll see Christ. And Christ is God, listen, manifest in the flesh. Everything God is, Christ is. Everything. I and my Father are one. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. What more would we need to see than Christ? What more would we need to know than Christ? Who more would we need to hear than Christ? Who more would we need to worship than Christ? I'm thinking about an incident that occurred some time ago, friends, in a fellowship I attend from time to time. They had their Sunday school party. And they were giving out the prizes for the Sunday school. And this wee lad was there, and he was going to say the 23rd Psalm. So mum and dad sat down with him, and they put him through it, word for word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he had it off perfect. You see, until he went down to the gathering. And he got up to say it, you see. And he stood and he looked around at everybody. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd. And everything left him. Everything. Now get the scene. The Lord is my shepherd. And that's all you need. And away he went and sat down. Was he right? Absolutely right. What more do we need than Christ? Absolutely nothing. You know, brethren and sisters, if I want to see the love of God, I look at Christ. If I want to see the grace of God, I look at Christ. If I want to see the mercy of God, I look at Christ. If I want to see the long-suffering of God, I look at Christ. If I want to see the great ability and power of God, I look at Christ. If I want to see the wrath of God, I look at Christ. I can imagine him going into the Father's house with that whip of small cords and in wrath overturning those tables and driving the money changers out to have turned it into a den of thieves. That's the other side of the character of God, because while God is a God of grace and all the things I've mentioned, Moses said, thy God is a consuming fire. Oh, friends, how thankful we need to be for Christ. Far too slow sometimes at giving God thanks for the Lord Jesus. Far too slow. I was talking to some folks here recently who fellowship in an assembly. I'm not going to say very much more except for the fact that they're very, very tight. I think you know what I mean by this. But there's a dear lady there, and I know her. And I'm saying, I'm going as close to the issue here as ever I can. But I'm saying to you, if ever you come across her, don't cross her. You understand me? You know. You know what I mean. you know, I'm being guarded with my words. Sam's blushing here. Maybe he knows her. I don't know. But don't cross her. But anyway, this assembly, they had become very quiet. You see? And nobody was doing anything. And there was maybe 20 or 30 men there. You see? She got sick of this. You see? So it came to the time when they were giving thanks for the bread and the wine. And they sat, and they sat. And what did she do? She got up and gave it. Well, there was a whole commotion at the end of the meeting. Keep the woman silent in the church. You see, you shouldn't have done that, sister. She said, listen, if you're not thankful for Christ, I am. And she said, if you think you're going to sit there and refuse to give thanks to God for his son on my behalf, I'll do it myself. And she said, if you don't do it next Sunday, I'll get up and do it again. And she would have done it. It cured the problem. Man, they were on their tiptoes, and they were nearly tripping over one another to get taken part in the meeting the following Sunday. It done the world of good. Sometimes a wee jag like that does no harm. My friends, we don't appreciate. How on earth can people sit in the presence of Christ and not thank God for them? How can they do it? And I feel sometimes sorry for the sisters who are there, because they have to put up with that. And the men folk never seem to think. You see? So let's keep on praising the Lord, because we need to get a well-tuned harp, because we're living, I believe, in the very last of the last days. I believe that today. I'm not setting dates or anything of the sort. I wouldn't dare to do that. It's nonsense, I think, to get involved in something of that nature. The Lord knows all about it, and we just should be happy enough to leave it there. But I have seen occasions when people have set dates for the Lord's return, and that date has come and gone, and the whole thing has been tossed into disrepute. I can remember down the Ards where I come from, they have a very strong Jehovah Witness gathering there in Belial, and they had set dates for the Lord's return twice over. The event came and nothing happened. And of course, to the local people, they're all Christians, you see, and we got hammered the same as they did for the whole issue. But we didn't set any dates, and we wouldn't dare to do that. But he said, I will come again. That's good enough. That's all we need. He's coming, and like the wee lad, that's all you need. Hold tight to the promise of the Saviour. He's the great revealer. So many more of these I wanted to talk about. But let me just maybe conclude with this one today. We could say he was the great provider and the great mediator. And what about the great redeemer? You know, less and less fellowships that I would find myself with today are using the Believer's Hymn Book. As a matter of fact, different ones that I frequent, I can only think of one other one that does. And I think that's very sad, because that's a unique book, very, very unique, comprised by very remarkable men, the Believer's Hymn Book. There's a hymn in it that says this, My Redeemer, oh what beauties in that lovely name appear. None but Jesus in his glory shall the honored title wear. My Redeemer. Oh, how blessed to call him mine. Let me just leave something with you that crossed my mind yesterday as I pondered this. I drove down the street in Lurgan yesterday for a few minutes. Had clean forgotten the fact that the shops were open. And it was like the 12th of July. There's a man comes to Lurgan every Saturday, sells plants and stuff, and I was looking for a couple of things, just garden plants, that was all. I couldn't get near the town, let alone him. I had to drive on and go away. I went, I said, I'm not going into that at all. But I forgot all about this, you see, that the town was open and everything was kind of going back to normal again. People have forgotten God so quickly. so quickly. Redemption. If you ladies were out shopping yesterday, as probably you may have been, I don't know, you would see something you want to buy, and you'd say, right, the price suits me, I'll buy that and bring it home. You knew what it cost, and you paid the price. Brothers and sisters, here's the thought that crossed my mind. Have you any idea what you owed God, or what I owed God? I think if you saw it, you'd tremble. I really do. Even yet, as a believer, because there's none of us perfect. We fail and fall virtually every day we live. But even though I didn't know, and may never know, what I owed to the Almighty, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Behold, I am the great Redeemer. Isn't it grand to be redeemed today? Not with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. My, my. What a price was paid. You are the most expensive item in the universe. And so am I. Redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. I have to stop, friends, because that clock's gone. But listen, take that statement home with you and just think about it. Behold, I. Take a real good look at him. And I have only touched the hem of the garment, if I've even done that today. There's so many other items you could add. But the conclusion of it all is simply this. He's altogether lovely. He's the fairest of 10,000 to our soul. Thank you for listening. God bless you.